Right, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're on the 21st Adab. Al-Adab al-Hadi wa, oh, 20, yeah, 21st. Al-Adab al-Hadi wa nashroon. An yuhibba aqriba al-Murshidi wa ahli qarabatihi wa yalinu li asdiqaihi wa ahibbaihi wa aydan yalinu li ikhwani al-tariqa wa talibin wa yashtalibu an غيبته وعن مخالفيه حتى يفوز بالاستقامة. That you should love the relatives of the spiritual guide, وأهل قرابته, and those who are related to him, ويلين لأصدقائه, and you should be soft towards his friends, وأحبائه, and his beloved ones. And also, one should be soft and kind لِإِخْوَانِ الطَّرِيقَ, to one's, what we call dear guys, or brothers in the tariqah, in the spiritual path, وَالطَّالِبِينَ, and other students and murids. وَيَجْتَنِبُ عَنْ غِيبَتِهِ, and a person should abstain from making ghiba of him, backbiting him, وَعَنْ مُخَالِفِهِ, and from those people who oppose him, حَتَّى يَفُوزَ بِالْإِسْتَقَامَةِ, until a person succeeds with steadfastness. And these are things that a person needs to avoid with regards to any Muslim anyway, but even more so with the person's spiritual guide, that's even more amplified. Fa'ida commentary. Ayatu hubb al-murshid, an yuhibb al-murid, ahl al-murshidi wa aqribaihi. A sign of the love of the murshid is that the murid loves the people of the murshid and his relatives. وهذا مستفاد من الكتاب والسنة. And this is derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. قال الله تعالى, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربة. That say, I do not ask from it any type of recompense except for love for those who are related, for the relatives. In Surah Ash-Shura. روى علي رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علي رضي الله عنه narrates from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أدبوا أولادكم على ثلاث خصال. He said that give tarbiyah to your child, or discipline your children, teach your, educate your children about three characteristics. حب نبيكم, love your Prophet. وحب أهل بيته, and the love of the people of his house. وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ, and the reading of the Qur'an. There's a general principle, حَبِيبُ الْحَبِيبُ حَبِيبُ, that the beloved one of the one who is beloved is also beloved to an individual. So a person, if they really love a person, then they will love whatever they love as well. That's one. And then we're also reminded of the story, comes in تعليم المتعلمة في Imam Zunuji, where there was a sheikh who would be teaching, and in the middle of his class, I mean, this was more about from the ilmi line than the tariqa line, but the principle still, you know, applies. And during his dars, he would just stand up out of nowhere, and then he would sit down, and then he would continue his dars. So someone, I guess, asked him, why do you keep on doing that? And he said that while I'm doing the dars, I see the children of my ustaz playing in the courtyard. And when they come into this area, I stand up out of respect for them. And then when they leave, then I sit down. So this is the way that he honored his teachers, that he even honored their children. So the 22nd, Adab, يَعْرِضُ عَلِ الْمُرْشِدِ أحواله الباطنة حسنة أو سيئة, لأن المرشد طبيب روحاني يصلح بعد العلم والاطلاع. The person should present to the murshid his inner states, whether they be good or they be bad, because the murshid is a spiritual doctor. يصلح بعد العلم والاطلاع, that he can treat you after having knowledge and being informed. ولا يلتزم المريد السكوت ثقة بكشف الشيخ. And the murid should not stick to silence, relying upon the spiritual unveilings of the sheikh, meaning that the sheikh will have some type of kashf, some type of vision, and automatically he'll get inspiration, and Allah SWT will automatically give him some ghaibi ilm of the murid. He's saying it doesn't work like that. You need to sort of tell him what's going on. فَإِذَا commentary كَمَا أَنَّ الْمَرِيدَ يُخْبِرُ الطَّبِيبَ الْجِسْمَانِ أَنْ أَحْوَالِهِ إِلَّا لَمْ يُخْبِرْهُ يَتَقَدَّمُ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ. That in the same way that a person who is physically sick informs his physical doctor about his conditions, and if he doesn't inform him, then he is basically preparing himself and embarking towards death. كَذَلِكَ يَنْبَغِي لِلسَّالِكَ أَلَّا يَزَالُ يَتَّلِعُ الْمُرْشِدِ. In the same way, the salik should not stop informing the murshid, وَهُوَ طَبِيبُهُ الرُّحَانِيُّ, and he is his spiritual doctor, عَلَى الْكَيْفِيَّاتِ وَالْوَارِدَاتِ, on his inner states and those things which descend upon him, وَإِلَّا يَمُتْ قَلْبُهُ, and if not, his heart will die. ويجب في هذا الأمر الاجتناب عن الإفراط والتفرط. And in this matter, it is important that a person abstains from going to either extreme, meaning too much or too little. أما الإفراط فهو أن يخبر عن كيفياته كل صغير وكبير سوى شيخه. Okay. So the ifrat is that a person reveals his kayfiyat and his inner openings and states, both small and big, to every person, every little person, every big person, but everyone except for the sheikh, right? That's the worst. والواردات والكيفات أرائس الباطنة. And these things that descend upon, these states which present themselves to an individual, it's like a hidden bride. وَنِعْمَا خُفْيَةً, and how good it is to hide it. وَهَلْ يَظْهَرُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُ عَلَىٰ عُرُوسِهِ. Then so does anyone, notify anyone other than him on his newlywed bride. So it's this is something that's supposed to be kept private in that sense. It's not like you go around telling people, oh, I saw this or I saw this and this is happening. That's not appropriate. والتفريط أن لا يخبر شيخه عن أحواله. And going to the other extreme is that a person doesn't inform his sheikh about his conditions. ويفهم أن مرشده, and he thinks that his murshid is sahib al-kashf, that he has some type of spiritual insight. يَعْرِفُ بِنَفْسِهِ, that he'll just know it himself. He knows what's going on with me. فَالطَّرِيقُ السَّوِيِّ أَنْ يُخْبِرُ دَائِمًا شَيْخَهُ عَنْ أَهْوَالِهِ. And so the middle way is that he should always inform his sheikh, but not necessarily every single individual, about his condition. قَالَتِ الصُّوفِيَّةِ, the Sufis say, إِنْ اتَّخَذَ السَّالِكَ الْإِتِّبَاءُ وَالْإِتِّلَاءُ. That if the salik takes obedience and regular rabita, or regular communication with the sheikh, the dusturan as a principle, فلا يقول دون تقدمه شيئا. So nothing will basically stand in his way. We need to go back and look at that ara'is translation. So if I get a chance, inshallah, if I check it, inshallah, I'll bring it up next week. Al-Adab al-Salif wal-Ashroon, 23rd etiquette. The 23rd etiquette, ما رأاه في المنام يذكره للمرشد إن جاء في ذهنه تعبير يذكره أيضا. That whatever he sees in a dream, he should mention it to his sheikh, and if in his dream there also comes an interpretation for that, then he should mention that as well. So just to mention, you look at different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates to his slaves and communicates his murad to his slaves, and the most qat'i and definitive way is through the Quran and through the hadith, because the hadith, and that's basically wahi. when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, that was wahi, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, it was also wahi. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that this is also wahi. Now, after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wahi actually came to a close. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no longer communicated through mankind. And really there was no need, because this was the completion of the house of prophethood. This was the last message in through the medium of wahi. But at the same time, there's one road that was left open. Now it comes, I think, in Tirmidhi that there are 46 parts of prophethood, and all of them were closed with the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for the true dream. And so this is one of the ways on occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will communicate with his slaves. Now understand that dreams come from different parts, different sources. It can come from shaitan, it can come from a person's nafs, and it can also come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. So there's different ways that, I mean, that's a different art of dream interpretation. Now when dreams occur, sometimes they will occur and a person will have absolutely no idea of what they mean. And often in those type of situations, a person will go to a sheikh or an individual and try to get those interpreted. In other situations, the dream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only sends the dream, but he also sends the interpretation with it. And if that actually happens, it behooves an individual that they're going to get a fuller understanding of what they need to do next by conveying the meaning that came with the dream as well. And it should also be understood that dreams are a dalil, this is like a zanni thing, it's conjectural. It doesn't necessarily, you know, form a new source for the sharia, it doesn't change any, you can't establish ahkam based on it, so on and so forth. But you can say that it's an ishara for an individual, what they may need to do, or what may happen to them. فَإِذَا commentary بَعْضُ سَالِكِينَ يَكُونُ لَطِيفُ الْتَبَعُ. Some salikin are very sensitive in their temperament, subtle in their temperament. وَبَعْضُهُمْ يَكُونُ كَثِيفُ الْتَبْعُ. And some of them are very sick. قَلِيلُ الرُّؤْيَ الْمَنَامُ. And so they very seldom do they see any dreams during their sleep. And so it really has to do sometimes, it's not necessarily a bad thing, it has to sometimes do with the tabi'ah. Some people are very, you know, quote-unquote, more mystically prone. And so they receive more of these more mystical experiences, and other people, they're just very, have a very austere tasawwuf. وَكَثْرَةُ الرُّؤْيَا لَيْسَتْ دَلِيلًا عَلَى الْفَضِيلَةِ وَقِلَّةُ الرُّؤْيَا لَيْسَتْ دَلِيلًا عَلَى النُّقْصِ. And having a lot of dreams is not an indication of superiority, and a paucity of dreams is not an indication of any type of deficiency. وَالرُّؤْيَا ثَلَاثٌ. Ru'yas are, dreams are of three types. حديث النفس وهو كل ما يفعله السالك في النهار أو يفكر فيه يستمع في ذهنه فيراه في المنام. The first one is called حديث النفس, or the speaking of the nafs. And it is everything that the salik does during the day, or he thinks about and he gathers in his mind. فيراه في المنام, and so he sees it in his dream. You know, in Urdu they say that, you know, there's mice in the cat's dreams. I mean, whatever you think about the whole day, obviously you're going to see that in your dream. Or like, what is it? Dil mein basa khabne dikhe, that, you know, something comes into your heart and then you see it in your dreams. And, you know, people sometimes will experience this. They fall in love with X, Y, and Z person, or really start liking them, then they start having dreams, and they say, oh, you know, this is a sign that this is something real. It's just, I mean, that's just wahmi. That's just having, you know, that's very flippant way to go about things. It's just, you know, you're thinking about it, that's why you're seeing it. The second type is adghaf ahlam. وَهُيَ الْحَيَالَاتُ الْمُنْتَشِرَةِ يَرَاهُ فِي الْمَنَامِ مُصَوَّرَةً. Adghaf ahlam, this, as it comes in the Quran, أدغاث أحلام بل افتراه بل هو شاعر. that, they said that these are just like scattered thoughts that they see in dream form in it with some type of shape or picture. So, I mean, we all get you can probably relate to the experience of having some really random dreams. It makes absolutely no sense. It's just like random thought generation. And those are al-ghaf ahlam. And the third type of dream, al-ru'ya al-saliha, and he wa hiya al-ru'ya al-saliha, that the righteous dream, and that is the true dream. وَقِيلَ إِنَّهَا جُزْءٌ مِنْ سِتِّ وَأَرْبَعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ, and it is said that it is a part from the 46 parts of Nubuwa, and I mentioned to you about that earlier. والتمييز بين أقسام الرؤيا هذه صعب, and to differentiate between this type of types of dreams is difficult. لا يحل هذه المشكلة إلا على صاحب البصيرة الباطنة, and it is not facilitated, and this difficulty is not facilitated for an individual except for a صاحب البصيرة, for a person of inner insight. ينبغي للسالك أن يذكر للشيخ كل ما رآه في المنام من غير زيادة ولا نقصان. It's not appropriate that a person mentions whatever they see in the dream to the sheikh without adding anything and adding any embellishment nor leaving anything out. فإن عبر عن المرشد فبها وإلا يسكت. And if he gives you some type of ta'bir or interpretation, then so be it. وإلا يسكت, and if not, he'll remain silent. ولا يعلم أن إظهار تأويله لا يفيدني أو إن هذه الرؤية ليست صالحة للتعبير. Oh, and then he should know if he doesn't say anything that the sheikh manifesting or describing the interpretation of the dream will not benefit me. So that's why he's keeping quiet. Or that this dream is not does not deserve interpretation. That's what basically a person should just think to themselves if the sheikh doesn't interpret it. And sometimes there is a deeper hikmah in not interpreting it and not mentioning it, because it comes, I believe, in hadith as well, to the effect that the dream is on the wing of a bird. Howsoever you cut it, it will fall. And that's why it's important that if a person has a dream, that they should go to a righteous individual to get it interpreted, then an alim to get it interpreted, not any this, that, and the other person. Because the way the dream is interpreted also has an effect on how it will unfold. And so a person who is a righteous scholar who has deep knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, and sometimes you need that deep knowledge above and beyond the basira, because it gives you the sort of cheat sheet or the guide to decode the different symbols which exist within the dreams. Then they'll try to make a good interpretation out of it. There's this one person who came to a mufti. He saw himself, I think, taking his topi and was like cleaning the dirt on the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so a person might go to, if you go to someone who's jealous of you, right? They might say, oh, that just means that, in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're just like dirt, and you don't even, you put the sunnah, his sunnah in the dirt. That's one interpretation. He went to the mufti, mashallah, who's also a sheikh. The mufti sahab said, oh, this means, and this person, you should do a lot of khidmah for the masjid. So he says that this indicates that your khidmah of the masjid has become accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the same dream. But however it's interpreted, it shall fall. And that's why if a person sees a bad dream or a dream from shaitan, and the way sometimes will tell is that when you wake up, you'll have a terrible feeling. Those you should just keep to yourself. There's no need to tell anyone about it. Just let it go. It's just shaitan. That's different, for example, than a scary dream or a dream which has a negative content. For example, if you see a dream where you're being taken to Jahannam, wal-'iyadhu billah, that type of dream you should tell someone, right? And you'll be scared and X, Y, and Z maybe when you get up, but that's, you know, that's an instructive dream. That's different from, you know, the shaitani dreams I'm referring to. ذكر أمور هامة لتعبير الرؤيا. So the mention of important points for interpretation of dreams. Number one, تعبير بعض الرؤيا يكون كما ترى في المنام تماما. That the interpretation of some dreams, they will be as how you see it in the dream completely. So it will just be, you know, how you see it, that's the interpretation. بعض الرؤيا تعبيرها على ضد ما ترى. That some dreams, their interpretation will be the opposite of what you see. كان رأى شخصا أنه مات فإنه يحيى مدة طويلة. So if he sees a person die in their dream, then he will live a long life, for example. You know, my own wife, before we got married, she had seen a dream. It was very symbolic, and there's a lot of portions to it, but just one portion, she saw herself, you know, walking to a room, and she saw herself dead in front of her. And so first she had seen a child dead, that was a relative of her, and then she went into the next room, and she saw herself dead. And then she went and had someone interpret it. And no, subhanAllah, the sheikh actually said, or the individual told her that means that you'll soon get married. And it was actually the death of that same relative child that led to my mom and going and seeing her, that led to the rishta, and then she got married. So it's sometimes the exact opposite of what you see, right? It was a new life, so to speak, for her. And so there's that aspect. Number three, تعبير بعض الرؤيا موقوف على التمثيل. That the interpretation of some, what's it called, some dreams are contingent on تمثيل. رأى الملك سبع بقرات ثمان وأخر عجاف. ففسر سيدنا يوسف عليه السلام عن البقرات الثمان بسنة خصبة وعن البقرات العجاف بسنة Mujaddaba. So some of them are contingent, or made contingent on, I guess, the interpretation. So the Malik, the king, he saw seven cows. This is in the story of Surah Yusuf. He saw seven cows that were fat and other, and seven other cows which were hazil or emaciated. So Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he made the interpretation, or he did the tafsir of seven fat cows as 7 years of abundant crop, and from the seven lean cows as 7 years of drought. And so I still remember that, you know, Sheikh Hameen one time in one of his classes, he had told me way back when, he said that, you know, everything in dreams, I mean, ways of dreams work as symbols. And he's like, and that's why, you know, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيدِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Yusuf alayhi salam this very deep science of interpreting dreams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself dropped, because if you were to try to, even with all your ill, and I never could solve this puzzle, like, what is the bridge of the symbol between the cow in a year? And there's no very really compelling bridge that really comes to mind, but that really was the ta'bir, and that's exactly what happened, and he was able to see it. Number four, رُؤْيًا يَرَاهُ رَجُلَانِ يَخْتَلِفُ لَهُمَا تَعْبِيرًا. That the same dream that two different people see, that their interpretation, the two interpretations will differ for both of them. رَعَى رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ أَنَّهُ يُؤَذِّنُ فَوَجَدَ الْعِزَّةِ تَحْتَ قَوْلِهِ وأذن في الناس بالحج. That, you know, a righteous person, he saw that he was giving the adhan, and so he will find izzah under the, you know, under the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and proclaim to the people the hajj. وَرَأَى فَاسِقٌ أَنَّهُ يُؤَذِّنْ فَأَخَذَ سَارِقٌ وَحَصَلَ لَهُ ذِلَّةٌ تَحْتَ قَوْلِهِ ثُمَّ أَذَنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّدُهُ الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِحُونَ. And a wicked person sees that he's given the adhan. فَأَخَذَ سَارِقًا, and so he's basically you know, captured as a thief, and it will basically he حصله العزة, he will earn no not عزة ذلة disgrace تحت قوله under the saying ثم أذن مؤذن, and then the muezzin called out, the caller called out, أيتها العير O caravan, إنكم لصادقون, indeed you are thieves. So this was in Surah Yusuf, and this was when Yusuf alayhi salam had basically made the plan to put the Surah al-Malik, the cup of the king, and hide it in their in the goods of his brothers when they were going back, as a way to facilitate his brother Binyamin being left behind with him. And so there's a zan in both. The first one is about Ibrahim alayhi salam, mu'azzin fi al-nas bil hajj ya'tuka ala kulli jani, that proclaim to them with the hajj, and then they'll basically just, because I mean there's nothing in that valley, and Allah sometimes they just proclaim, they'll come. And wala kulli damir ya'tina min kulli fajjin amiq, right, they will actually come from, you know, every valley, and that's exactly what happened. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread that call. Number five, تَرَأَى فِي الْفَصْلَيْنِ رُؤْيَا وَاحِدًا يَخْتَلِفُ تَعْبِيرُهَا رَأَى فِي الشَّتَارِ نَارًا أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ وَإِنْ رَأَهُ فِي الصَّيْفِ أَصَابَهُ شَرٌّ. That seeing in different, the same dream in different seasons, its interpretation will actually differ. So if you see the dream, if you see fire in winter, then it, some good will, may come to you. And if you see it in the summertime, then the person will be struck with some type of evil. So that's the other sort of principle in dream interpretation, is that it's very contextual. It depends on who is the seeing the dream. So there's one side about the dream itself, but then there's also depends on who's seeing the dream and when they're seeing the dream. I remember that discussion in Tirmidhi as well, in our Dars of Tirmidhi. Sali. So the sixth one, قَدْ تَكُونُ الرُّؤْيَا فَاسِدَةٌ فِي الظَّاهِرِ وَلَكِنَّهَا رُؤْيَا صَالِحَةً. Sometimes a person will see a dream that looks, you know, messed up or bad, or apparently bad, but they actually, it actually is a righteous dream. رأت سيدة الزبيدة زوجة هارون رشيد أنها عريانة وأن الإنس والحيوانات والطيور تثني بها فحزنت واستيقظت وخافت ألا يصيبه خزي. That Sayyidah Zubayda, the wife of Harun Rashid, she saw that she was naked, and that people and the birds, the animals and the birds, everyone was committing zina with her, fornicating with her. And so فَحَزِنَا, she became so sad, وَاسْتَيْقَظَتْ, and she, when she woke up, وَخَافَتْ أَلَّا يُصِيبُهُ خِزْيٌ, she was, you know, afraid of getting raped. She was afraid of some type of humiliation when she grew up. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ تَعْبِيرُهُ أَنَّهَا سَتَنْشِئُ نَهْرًا. But the ta'bir, or the interpretation, was that she was going to initiate or She was going to, not initiate, what's the word for it? Basically make a river. That the people will drink from it, and the animals will drink from it, and the birds will drink from it. والدواجن وتكون لها صدقة جارية, and it would be a صدقة جارية for her. رأى شخص أنه يثني أمه فحزن حزنا شديدا. Another person, so basically the idea there was like in the same way in the dream as those people, were those entities were taking benefit from her, and she had opened herself up to for others to benefit. In the same way she had, you know, through her mal and through her wealth, she had opened that up to, and she really did spend, you know, subhanAllah, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She opened that up as a sadaqah jariyah so that all of these, in reality, people could benefit and animals could benefit. The next one is even more stark, it seems. رَعَى شَخْصٌ أَنَّهُ يَذْنِي أُمَّهُ فَحَزِنَ حُزْنًا شَدِيدًا. A person saw in his dream that he's doing, making zina with his mother. فَحَزِنَ حُزْنًا شَدِيدًا. He was extremely disturbed. He was extremely grieved at this. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ الْمُرَادْ بِالْأُمْ الْأَرْضِ. But what was meant with the mother was the earth, and what was meant with the zina was الْإِسْتِمْتَعُ بِالْأَرْضِ, was taking benefit from the earth. فَوَجَدَ نَفْعًا عَظِيمًا مِنْ أَرْضِهِ. And what he ended up getting was a great benefit and a great benefit from the earth, meaning that it gave a lot of crop. وعلى السالكين أن يحافظوا على أصل أنه لو رأى رؤية صادقة فما لم يظهر فماذا تفيد. So if a person sees a righteous dream, so as long as they don't tell anyone, they don't open it up to the sheikh, فماذا تفيد, so then what is the benefit? فلو رأى في المنام أنه أصبح ملكا ولكن أي فائدة ما لم يتملك في الخارج. So if he sees in a dream, no, I'm sorry. فعلى السالكين يحافظ على أصل. The salik should actually keep the following principle in mind, that if he sees a righteous dream, so as long as the dream doesn't manifest itself, so what's the benefit? If he sees in a dream that he woke up as a king, but of what benefit is it as long as he doesn't become a king in external reality? Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, ash-shamsu wal-qamru wal-nujuma lahu sajidin. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he saw the sun, he saw the moon, he saw the stars making sajda to him. Walakin waqa'a fil bir wa bi'a fi misr. But in reality, he was, you know, sitting in a well. He had been thrown into a well, and he was sold in a city or in Misr. وَعَمَلَ خَادِمًا فِي بَيْتِ عَزِيزِ مِصْر. And he was working as a servant in the house of the minister of Egypt. وَوَقَعَ فِي بَلَاءٍ وَمَكَثَ فِي السِّجْنِ. And then he became into some type of difficulty, and he stayed in, and he remained in, imprisoned. تِسْعَ سَنَوَاتٍ, for 9 years. ثُمَّ وَجَدَ مَلِكًا وَتَمَّتْ رُؤْيَاهُ. And then he found a kingship. وَتَمَّتْ رُؤْيَاهُ. And then his dream was completed. وَلَمَّا كَانَ هَذَا حَالُ الرُّؤْيَةِ الصَّادِقَةِ فَمَا مَعْنَى الْفَرْحِ عَلَى الرُّؤْيَةِ الْفَاسِدَةِ. And if this is the situation with, you know, righteous dreams, then what do you think is the what's the point of getting happy about رؤية فاسدة, or just like worthless dreams, bad dreams. وَهُنَاكَ بَعْضُ السَّالِكِينَ يَشْتَغِلُونَ دَائِمًا فِي ذِكْرِ رؤياهم. And that's why some of the Salikin, all the time they're busy in mentioning their dreams. كَأَنَّهُمْ مُلُوكٌ عَلِمَ الرُّؤْيَةِ. As if they're kings of the world of dreams. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَسْقُطُ بِالرُّؤْيَةِ كِبَارًا عَظِيمًا وَيَحْسُنُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالْعُجْبِ وَالْإِفْتِخَارِ. Shaitan, sometimes he causes to fall through dreams people of very great status. وَيَحْسُنُ الْإِنسَانُ, and he puts insan in trial, with vanity wal iftikhar, in showing off and pride. So that المرشد هو الذي ينبه الإنسان على هذه المكائد. And so the person of the spiritual guide, he is the one who will warn the insan about these different types of tricks from shaitan, muhafizatan al-iman, protecting the person's iman. And sometimes it really happens. You know, a person will see Jannah in their dream and they say, oh, you know, I'm golden, I see Jannah in my dream, I'm going to go to Jannah, I don't need to do X, Y, and Z, and they really completely slacken in their good deeds. They might actually fall into bad deeds because they say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't show it to me for no reason. But it's just tricks of shaitan. It's just tricks of shaitan. Hikayatan. I remember this one time when I was sending Mishkat, I was reading it on Abuji, which Amala Abdullah Naeem Sahib, Mullah Abdullah Saleem's father, who used to be Sheikh al-Hadith in Darul Uloom, Yemen. So when I was, and this was, I think, before my first son was born. So that was, he's 12 now. It's a long time ago. But I mean, we knew that we were expecting, and we had seen a very good dream, alhamdulillah, or something like that. So I was told that to go in and get it interpreted. So during class, I mentioned it to Sheikh al-Hadith, and what he said really stuck with me. He said that jagne ke baat kare, like sone ke baat nahi kar. He basically rebuked me. He says, talk to me about things of wakefulness. Don't tell me about sleep. And it was a very practical lesson that don't get caught up in all this dream stuff. Just be practical and just worry about the things that you need to really be doing in the deen. So Hikayat, and there's a story here. Let me try to go through the story. I don't know what the story is about, so you'll find out, inshallah. كان لجنيد بغدادي مريد يرى كل يوم في المنام أنه يسير في الجنة. Junaid Baghdadi, he had a student, and the student every day he used to see in his dream that he is walking in Jannah. ويذكر في النهار هذه الرؤيا للناس, and he used to mention this to, during the day to the people. حتى اشترحت قصصه ومضت سنة كذلك. So until his stories became very popular and known, and it became just sort of like a known habit. فظهر في خدمة الشيخ مرة فرآه الشيخ. So he one time came in the he presented himself to the in the khidmah of Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi rahimullah. One time, فرأى الشيخ أنه واقع في شبكة المكر والخديعة والعجب. So he saw that this young man had fallen prey to the net of makar is machinations, والخديعة and deceit, and عجب is vanity. فقال إن رأيت الجنة بعد هذا فقل لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So he said that if you see Jannah after this day, then say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. فظن الطالب أن الشيخ يحسده, وفي الليلة الثانية لما رآه يسير في الجنة تذكر أن الشيخ أوصى له بقراءة لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So the student, he actually thought that the sheikh was just jealous of him. And so the second night, when he saw that he was walking in Jannah, he remembered that the sheikh had recommended to him and advised him to read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. وَهَذَا بَرْكَةُ تَوَجُّهِ الشَّيْخِ حَقِيقَةً. And this is the true barakah of the spiritual attention focus of the sheikh. فقال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. He said لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. فلما قالها انتهت جميع المناظر. And when he said it, all of the different sights that he was seeing became to an end. ورأى هناك إظاما موضوعة فعلم أن الشيطان يريد أن ينتهب إيمانه. And so he saw basically bones which were thrown over there, I think. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ And then he knew very quickly that it was Shaitan that was trying to steal his Iman. So بَعْضُ الصَّالِكِ try to see if we can do a little bit more. بَعْضُ الصَّالِكِينَ يَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ شُيُوخًا وَيَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ يَجِدُ فَائِدَةً بَاطِنِيَّةً مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْخ بِدُونِ تَوَسُّطِ شَيْخِهِ. Some of the Salikin, they will see themselves as a sheikh in a dream. And they'll think that they've gone the nisbah, and they've gone this wilaya, and this inner, you know, spiritual benefit. من ذلك الشيخ بدون توسط شيخه. Oh, no, that's not it. They're not seeing themselves as sheikh. They'll see another sheikh. Right? They'll see a second sheikh. And they'll think that, oh, I've gotten X, Y, and Z spiritual benefit. I've become a wali now. And from that sheikh, yeah, the sheikh they saw in the room, without the medium of his own sheikh. ولكنه خديعة شيطانية, but rather it is a satanic deception. Where Shaitan يريد أن يقطع رابطته بشيخه, and Shaitan in reality wants to cut this person out from his sheikh. وهناك بعض الصالحين يرون في المنام رؤيا كثيرة. Some people see, some صالحين they see many dreams. بعضها أعجب من بعض. Some of them are more amazing, and each one is like more amazing than the other. ولكنهم في التزام الشريعة يتكاسلون, but in the matters of the Sharia, they're very lazy. وهذه آيات بينات, and these are clear signs على وقوعهم في الفتنة, that they're falling into fitna. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتمثل بي. That whosoever sees me in a dream has truly seen me, for indeed Shaitan does not take my form. And that's why Shaitan can come in the form of a sheikh. Shaitan can even, wal'ayyazu billah, come in the quote-unquote form of Allah in a dream and say that I am Allah and I'm telling you this. And so the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it permissible for him to come in that form, because it's known that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all of that. It's known that, I mean, there's no shubha there. But the reason that he forbade Shaitan to come in the form of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, this is izzah for the izzah and status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it also has to do with the fidelity of communication and fidelity of, and i'tibar, what you call it, the soundness of wahi. If Shaitan can come in the form of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that's, it would cast doubt on the authenticity of his message. So that road, he was the medium of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messenger there can be no shubha about. The messenger has to be 100% true with fidelity that he's bringing that message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so even the shaitan that used to steal the news from the heavens with the coming of this wahi, that door was closed to them because of the, through the, you know, meteorites, so to speak, comets. رواه أحمد والبخاري والترمذي. This riwayah is in Ahmad, Bukhari, and Tirmidhi. So we can probably hold it here for this week, inshallah. So important announcements for the next 2 weeks. We are off actually. So next Saturday there's no class. The Saturday after that there's no class, and then we'll be meeting it'll be like April 10th or something. Let me just see what the calendar is. So this Saturday is the 29th. So I'm leaving the 29th. So from 29th, there's no our next class will then be the 12th, right? So a little ways down, inshallah. All right. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.